Thank you, everybody. Welcome back. I'd like to introduce Connie Valencia. Connie is the Chief Operations Officer for Elevate Consult. She previously worked at Hayden AI as Chief Operating Officer. Connie helped lead the company's transition as an AI company from R&D to full-scale operations. She helped grow revenue from zero to $40 million. At Elevate Consult, it is a cybersecurity, data privacy, and IT audit advisory firm. She drives operational transformation by aligning strategy, IT systems, and compliance frameworks. Connie holds an MBA from Florida Atlantic University, a bachelor's degree in accounting from the University of Wisconsin. She's a certified project management professional, certified internal auditor. She's trained in Lean Sigma 6 and Agile Scrum, and Connie lives in beautiful, warm South Florida, so we can all be jealous. So why don't we just go around the room and why don't we just go to so John, who's the spokesperson for your team?
Which John?
John, oh, I'm sorry, John, who's the spokesman for your team?
Which John?
John Tober.
Where's Robert?
John, I'm here. Do you mind being the
Sure, I'll do
spokesperson?
it. I'll do it. I'll do it.
Thanks.
Okay.
So who's the spokesperson?
Me, I am.
Okay, go ahead.
You ready?
Yep.
Okay. I think we reached a consensus as far as the material weakness in a general control. It's not such a dangerous area, but what we felt was we really want to make sure that we get the audit committee and the accounting firm and senior management in the same room with our consultants and see if we can work this out before it becomes something that we have a material disagreement about that would require some action in connection with a public filing as to a disagreement with our auditors, or we in fact believe it is a material weakness. All right. We think there are a number of factors we'd like to know. I mean, obviously the fact pattern doesn't fill it all out, so we make some assumptions. But the assumption, some of the assumptions that we go with is that the auditors have been there a while, not new auditors. The audit committee itself needs to meet with its auditors and find out why this comes to light now. The audit team needs to meet with its CIO and CEO and CFO to find out why they didn't find this and why it didn't come out. Typically, this type of weakness, as far as general controls, it can get overlooked. All right. But what we also want to do is take a look to see, did it cause any damages, all right, as a result of the internal control, either in our financial reporting, to our customers, to clients, to obviously third parties outside of the firm, outside of the company, to assess the material weakness. As far as the PCAOB information, I don't know, with the audit committee, I don't believe it will carry much weight. The PCAOB is not supposed to make calls on materiality. They can advise you on how to determine if something's materiality as far as the procedures, but not make materiality judgments. So I found that a little surprising that would have occurred, but it might have some weight on management, or I don't think it would have any weight on the auditors. That's kind of the way we would look at it. I think from the audit committee's perspective, we need to be always careful with a disclosure issue like this on a material weakness. This is under this, SOX is in play, and so it offers risk to senior management team. It offers risk. There's risk in the audit committee. There's also risk with the auditors. We want to take a look at where this particular type of company fits its profile. How big is it? How robust is it? It's a public company. Is it widely traded? How is it followed? When did this particular type of deficiency occur? Typically it would be in a 10K, this type of deficiency. But if it occurred earlier in the quarter and we feel that it's something that should be disclosed, we might consider disclosing it in a 10Q. All right. Where assumption is because there's a difference in agreement between the auditor and the company, there's probably been no adverse event as a result of it. Because if there was an adverse event, it would immediately become material. All right. So if there's no adverse event, the old typical no harm, no foul, we still need to decide what to do with it. And disclosure, usually the audit committee is going to act more conservative on disclosure issues typically in a public company. So it may be something that we would consider depending on, even with a materiality question, disclosing, but the disclosure also discloses, all right, that number one, it did not damage the company. It did not affect the financial reporting. It did not affect any consumers or consumers. It was something that through our audit was determined and it was remediated. Okay. And we need to determine how it was remediated. So that's probably the most conservative stance to take if it's not, if there's a question as to whether it's material or not. So that's kind of how we came out. Robert, anything else you want to add?
Okay,
No,
good.
well done. Go ahead. Keep going.
Thank you very much. Let's turn to the other John Ila. Who's on your team and who's the spokesperson?
Ingrid's on our is our spokesperson.
We were
And
group six. I thought we'd be at the end, Larry, so you're going out of order. No worries. I will go ahead and get started. So building on what John said, trying to figure out the things that were a differentiator. Initially, when our group was talking, we had a couple of the folks said we were o okay with exploring option three. And then John Eva brought up some good points around potential challenges that may be faced from a reputational standpoint if we were to move forward with going ahead and having a slight delay. So instead, we started to align a little bit more around going ahead and disclosing it. But we also wanted to talk through the concept of, is it possible, since our group did not feel like there was something that, and when I say our group, meaning like the internal auditors and the IT, didn't feel like there was anything material, if there's a way, a little bit what John Tober was saying, that we could have a discussion, but knowing that the discussion might not go far because if the person has like a little list that says, here's the 20 whatever things you were supposed to do and you only did 19, too bad, too sad, you're in trouble. You don't meet the threshold for what you're supposed to be doing. So if that was kind of the hard-nosed view on how they were going to approach it, we had said perhaps we can add that our team is working, putting together a plan to basically address the issues that they had, meaning the external auditors had, to be able to give the reassurance to the street that we were being intentional on listening to this group. Even though we didn't see that something was material, we thought it would be worthwhile to partner with our internal team to figure out how we could address that said problem so that in that same disclosure, if it's possible, we could get them to not dispute that we were working on a solution during that, not to necessarily stage it, but that was kind of the approach we wanted to do. Jack or John, any additional comments for my feedback?
Okay.
No, we think you
So
got
your
it.
slides did well.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Ingrid. Craig, who's on your team and who's the spokesperson?
All right, so we had Mindy, Ari, and Jim Shields, and I am the spokesperson. So I'm going to get right to what our recommendation was, and then I'll fill in the how we got there behind that. So first of all, there was clearly, as I'm sure everybody saw, insufficient information, which is typically how these cases are. So we did make some assumptions and drew some inferences. But in the end, our recommendation was to disclose. One of us made the comment that disclosure is your friend and being transparent. But also noting that there was, we have the opinion of an IT, reputable IT, an independent firm that noted the issue but did not believe it was material to somewhat soften or mitigate the disclosure. We We discounted the PCAOB opinion. It was quote unquote informally reviewed, so that was a bit of a red flag. One of us thought that would not sit well with the auditors. So on top of the other team's opinion that it's not really their purview anyway, we really weren't going to use that as part of our reasoning. One of us also made the observation that if this issue has surfaced, what other issues may the auditor have found or will find? We don't know that, so we can't make any assumptions. But we also agreed that it made sense to just ratchet this up the ladder with the auditors and get everybody in a room, get the big guns over at the auditing firm, get the IT, cyber and security, get them all in a room and do it rather quickly before the 10-K is due, maybe in a couple of weeks, and see if we can't kind of get on the same page here and fill in some of the gaps. But really pushing management to think about, what if you are wrong? You're both digging in your heels. What if you are wrong? And this is a material breach. Have you thought about the ramifications and how you're going to deal with it? So to sum it up, we believe that disclosure is the way to go, with the caveat that there's some mitigating circumstances. We've taken some steps, yada, yada, yada. Mindy, Jim, Ari, anything to add?
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Brian, can you unmute yourself and tell me who's in your team and who's the spokesperson?
Yeah, for our team, it's going to be Frank McGillen.
Hey, need to unmute. So, long discussion. I think at the end of the day, it gets down to what's material. And we didn't believe there was enough information, and we needed more information to make the call. So there's three. Our action plan is really three steps. One is we want the outside IT compliance firm to provide their opinion in writing on why it's not material. Because we think having that in writing is a lot different than having an informal opinion on the materiality. We came up with a list of questions we want management to answer in the next 72 hours. Things like, what systems are actually in place? Where are the weaknesses? Is it a policy or an execution weakness? Help us understand why this is or is not material. Are there corrective actions in place? If so, what are they? And finally, why haven't we seen this before? If this is a problem, why are we getting this curveball today? Based on getting this in writing, getting the questions with them, we agreed that we should have a sit down with the senior partner at the auditing firm, management, and the outside consultant, and let's review the data. There's risk in disclosing. There's also risk in not disclosing. So we trying to balance that. We want to make sure we quickly get to the answers. But at the end of the day, if we're not getting the assessment in writing from the IT consultant, if we're not happy with the way the questions are being answered, we would require disclosure. If we can tick the boxes against the criteria we mentioned, then we would support the management's decision. Brian, Sarah, did I miss anything?
Oh, good.
One other thing I would add is, yeah, we talked a little bit about having an action plan that would allow us to really point to specific things that would need to be done to bring us into what would be considered compliance that could help us understand how material these issues really are.
Jay Lee, who's on your team and who's the spokesperson?
Hi, yes, hi everyone. So our team is consist of Stephen Epstein, Susan Mallory, and Peg Hoda. Peg is going to report for us. Thank you.
So I drew the short straw on reporting because I'm the new kid. Larry, I want to thank you for the invitation to join this group. It was such a dynamic discussion. We had to be drawn back into the group. We didn't even elect to leave our group. I'm going to cut to the chase since many of the things that you've already recommended were discussed by us. We ultimately landed that disclosure is the best policy. But to get to that point, a couple of things that came up. First, understanding and defining what's meant by material weakness. Clearly, there is a difference of opinion among the parties, and getting clarity around what that is and defining it is it will be very important. Has there been a thoughtful process to assess this from all angles? And has it been carefully documented? We also toyed with the idea of, can we bring the parties together, the auditor, the management team, and the outside independent advisors? Don't know whether that can be done. Interesting thought. Very happy that Susan went to Mrs. ChatGPT and gathered some information on demand about what an organization typically has to consider when going through this. So that helped to augment our thinking. But ultimately, to disclose, we discussed the role of the Audit and Compliance Committee versus the board. I think we landed that the Audit and Compliance Committee has the obligation to have a thoughtful, thorough recommendation that the board would act on. And that the recommendation would be to disclose with management's point of view and an action plan moving forward, having thoughtfully considered what the implications of this would be on investor confidence and any other actions that management might need to take. So I think we're all very aligned, but I still have a question mark as to whether you can have that powwow among the auditor, the management team, and the other advisors. Would they all get in a room and try to reach some point of view? I don't know whether that can be done.
Thank you, Peg. Linda, who's on your team and who's the spokesperson? Linda, can you unmute yourself?
I'll take
sorry
it
about
for...
that. So Ed and Mitchell, and I think our fourth person is no longer on this. Or am I wrong?
Oh, Craig Sanders had to leave early.
Yeah. Anyway, we had a great discussion and Ed Marsh is going to take us through it.
So we understood that it was too late to try to have that collective meeting and see if we could somehow work our way through the disagreement. That was just our interpretation of the facts. So we didn't consider that as an option. And then fundamentally, what we believed was that one way or the other, the market's going to hear about this. And so, you know, there was several different versions of expressions. We can hide behind the truth. And how are we going to present it? So I think in the end, the belief was that we accept the auditor's report and then we make a compelling presentation in the MD&A section talking about why we disagree, the justification for our disagreement, and the actions that we've taken to mitigate it. We did have the benefit of an expert in securities law as part of our group. And one of the points that was made was that although if we dismiss the auditor, the 8K would not necessarily need to disclose a reason for the dismissal, but it would have to disclose the nature of the disagreement. So in essence, no matter how we slice it, everyone's going to hear about the difference of opinion. So our suggestion was basically suck it up, accept the report, contest it in our portion, and make sure that we've got a clear plan for how we're rectifying it and mitigating it.
Good, good. Jim Shields, can you unmute yourself? Who's in your team and who's the spokesperson? Jim, are you there? Jim Shields? No. How about Marianne?
Yeah, Jim Shields is on my team and we went already.
Okay. Marianne, can you unmute yourself? And who's in the room and who's the spokesperson?
Looks like she might be having an issue, but Marianne was
we've already reported in. I don't know, is there any teams left? I think we've all reported for the most part. Is anybody, is there a team that hasn't reported?
Yeah. Any team that has not reported? Okay, seems that everybody has reported. So Connie, let me turn it to you. And can you comment on the comments that you've heard and just relate it to what actually happened and what you think?
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of want to break it down into three segments. So let me give you a little bit of background on who were the players. Obviously, Elevate, we were the advisors. We were the cybersecurity IT compliance advisors. And this is our client, still our client, thankfully. And it's a very stable financially healthy utilities company. Just to give you a little background on the industry, it is not that it was not involving any AI systems. This was their just their core financial systems and their report manager that had the change management and access control issues. We did have our independent opinion on why it was not material. And yes, we have pointed this out to the CIO in years past. We dug up the old historical records where we had documented it as a deficiency, not significant. Not, Lord knows, we vehemently disagreed that it was not material. We went to the mat on that one. And we had in the year's history of showing, okay, back in 21, back in 22, back in 23, we raised this to the CIO, but we collectively, as representatives of management and as well as with management, agreed that it was not a significant deficiency, and it certainly did not escalate to a level of material deficiency. And we walked through our decision framework. We tied it back to the COBIT framework, which we use for our IT auditing, and it was well documented. And we also pointed out with grace that this is the first time the auditors have ever audited this. And so now let me get to the answers in your assumptions. So no, there was no damages to the business, the debt, or to the data, or to the customers. This is a long-term relationship that the company has had with the external auditors. And we pointed that out that while we have tested this in years past, the auditors had never tested this in the past. And again, another reason why we didn't think it was an area of risk or concern for the auditors. But yes, management was aware, which is not a priority. And they did find this in a couple of weeks right before year end, which was also right around the time that this CPA firm was being acquired by a larger CPA firm. And we do believe that there was just some inner politics where the acquired CPA firm and the CPA team, the partner, was just trying to show, I don't know. I'll let you guys fill in the details with your own imagination on that one. And including the PCAOB, so that was on us. One of our former consultants who had worked on this job before in the years past, she's now with the PCAOB. So we called her out and said, hey, as a friend of the firm, take a look at this. Just, are we crazy? Are we losing our minds here? And she said, no, but I'll do you one even better. Let me run this up to my supervisor. And just, for professional, courtesy and take a look at it, just to give you, talking points with management. So we took that and we again, it didn't hold any weight with the external auditors or with the audit committee, but we used it as our shield to support ourselves, to defend our client, which was the CIO, and to explain to collectively with the CIO lockstep to the CFO, who was ready to fire both of us. And we basically said, look, even the PCOB, you remember who used to work on this account, and she agrees that this is not material. In the end, begrudgingly, the company disclosed, they disclosed a material weakness with no contestment, and they did disclose the remediation plan and they moved on. The auditors are still the auditors. We're still working with them. We did all get into the room. We did take it to the mat. It was a very vibrant conversation, ongoing. We had several. While we professionally decided to just disagree, we were not going to concede to what the auditors were saying, but it didn't matter because we're not the ones with the CPA license signing the 10K. But what we did agree on was the remediation plan. And we're actively working on it every day. And here we are a year later. And on our weekly stand-ups now that we have with the auditors, we have that remediation plan down and we are going through it line by line, making sure that everybody agrees to it and that there is absolutely no surprises this year. That's where we're at.
Good. Any questions for Connie or any reactions to
What was the impact on the stock price?
Believe it or not, really didn't move the needle. This is a very stable company, a very profitable. They pay consistent dividends, and they dropped a couple of points, but they bounced back. And they actually just went through an acquisition this year, which really helped with their valuation and their stock prices up. So it's a good company. So the investors, the market didn't really, and it's tightly held. It's not, they don't have a very large volume. So really went unnoticed. We actually spent more time just arguing about it than it was worth.
What was your number one point of remediation?
What was
the
our number
highest
one?
What was the highest priority remediation act you did?
It was just, it was so silly. It really was, is that the CIO had nobody reviewing his change access to some of the databases. So he was, it's a small team. There's like a team of four. And so nobody was reviewing the boss's changes.
Yep, I understand that.
Peg, you had a question or a comment?
Was there any difference in opinion between the Audit and Compliance Committee's recommendation and the board's decision?
No, the board completely deferred to the Audit Committee. 100%. They basically didn't want to even deal with it.
That's kind of what our team thought would happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Audit Committee wears bullseyes on their back.
Yeah. And the Audit Committee chair had been with the company for over a decade. This is a client that I've had for 15 years, and I know the Audit Committee chair. I know the CFO. They're mentors of mine and friends. And he has he's an attorney and a CPA. And so he was he'd actually fit really well with this group, I think.
Anyone have an experience, not necessarily identical, but along similar lines? Okay.
Conley, I was going to ask, how worried was the board and the management team about like the financial consequences of this? Did they think those were going to be big, or were they not that worried?
They weren't so worried about the financial consequences. They just didn't want the embarrassment. They take a lot of pride in being a very conservative, a very stable organization. So it was more reputational damage than anything else that they were worried about. There, again, it's a healthy balance. The numbers stand for themselves, and because there was absolutely no impact to the customers, no impact to the data, that it really was not. To this day, it is not a material weakness.
Connie, I realized that the company decided to suck it up and just go with the auditor's report. And at the end of the day, apparently there was no real impact, negative impact. But was there any discussion either at the audit committee level or at the board level to consider, in addition to going with the report, maybe making a statement somewhere in the 10K MD&A that the company, disagreed with the conclusion, but respects their auditor's report. Any discussion of even any disclosure like that?
The CFO who writes the, I mean, he knows every word, and he's been there for 15 years. He alluded to in the risk factor section of the M&A that while management is intimately familiar with the situation, and while there is some he watered it down. He basically said there's some difference in opinions. Yeah. However, we have a long-term relationship with our auditors, and out of respect for them, we have chosen to disclose this, and then it bam, right into the remediation plan.
And that comes under the heading of full disclosure. Just put it all out there.
Yep.
And they absolutely took the high road, the right road.
Yeah.
She has a question.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Connie, thanks for sharing the details. A great, definitely a great case study. And I wonder, the reason why there's not much of an impact on the stock, is it because you have a very robust remediation plan? So it seems to me that if you admit certain things, I understand there's some discussion or differences in opinion about materiality, but if you have a robust remediation plan, people can see through the remediation plan that this is actually not material. Do you think that might be the case?
That was our positioning, and that's basically that's why we told the CFO, look, we're going to document this remediation plan, and anybody who can spell IT is going to realize that this is not an issue. And if anything, if anyone's going to be embarrassed, it should be the auditors. And so that was our position. And so we happily wrote that part of the disclosure for the CFO put in there. And maybe not. You never know how the market reacts. I mean, especially in today's economy, there's things where I thought the world was going to end, and the market went up. So who knows? But at the end of the day, they have a very, the CFO has a very strong narrative with the investors and a very strong confidence with his investors. And he knows most of them, you know, the ones that show up to the earnings calls. And he was able to, he's a champ. He just handled it and just made it a non-issue. And I think that helped. It was really just the earnings calls.
Thanks for sharing.
Connie, you know, the broader question that this case brought up for me, you know, outside of how this actually went and that the management team was ultimately okay with disclosing, you know, it really makes me think, you know, where is that line for the board in managing the audit firm, right? Like, assuming that this disclosing this actually would have had a significant financial impact on the company and they didn't agree that this was material, where is that line? Like, was there a conversation around this case on that question?
It certainly came up, but at the end of the day, it wasn't enough for them to draw that line. Let's just put it that way. And the repercussions, the look, again, it was more, the company was more concerned about keeping up their appearance. And they, again, they've always been a very strong, financially well put together, stable company. They pay out their dividends. They have a very strong relationship with their investors. And so embarrassment was more their concern than anything else. And so they just wanted to, like, nope, nothing to see here. Okay, wait, you know, look, you ask 10 lawyers, you get 11 different opinions, and accountants are no different. So they just kind of went with that story and saying, look, there are auditors, we respect them, no retaliation, nothing to see here. We don't have a toxic or, you know, relationship with our auditors, nothing, there's nothing for anyone else to look deeper into. And they didn't want to breathe any further false narratives into the situation. It really was just a difference in opinion. And they thought it was more important than we did.
Did the dynamics between the company and the audit firm change as a result of this or as a result of the acquisition?
Shockingly, no. Absolutely nothing has changed. And I'm at awe. And every time I see the CFO and I meet up with him about every month or so, and we meet up for dinner, and I'm just like, please fire them. But nothing, no. There's amazing. No satisfaction amazing at all. We just took it and we take it. The only way, the only small satisfaction I get is that every week when I'm on the call with the auditors, I make it so abundantly clear that we are going to be partnership and collaboration and the best disinfectant in the sunlight. And we are just going to all in transparency. We all agree to this. We all see, I'm writing on the screen, do we all agree? And they have to sit there and say, yes, yes, we do. And I, as the COO, I'm joining those. That is the only weekly call that I have with any of our 300 customers. And I make sure I join that one, at least for the next 4 weeks.
Any other questions or comments? Connie, I want to thank you very much for the case. And I want to thank you all for the discussion about the case. Is there anything that any ideas, concerns, issues, referrals that anybody might want to raise to this group? How can we help each other? This is, we meet once a month. We know each other. How can we help each other? Anybody have any issues they want to discuss with the group? Haley?
Oh, hi. First of all, and I wanted to thank you, Larry and Marianne, for putting together this excellent group. So everybody brings so much insight and wisdom to all the discussion. But I do think that it would be great if we can kind of, you know, get linked up on LinkedIn or have some kind of offline discussion and see how we can share opportunities and synergies. I think that would be really, really awesome.
Okay. That's something we can, you know, think about creating a community. But in the meantime, you all know each other's names. You're all connected to each other through me or Marianne. So you're all second degree connections. So you can all look each other up and link with each other. We have wisely decided that we're not going to compete with Christmas next month. And so the next meeting is going to be in January. You'll be hearing about it. So I want to thank you for participating. I want to thank Connie for the case. And we look forward to seeing you in January. Happy Halloween. Happy holidays to everybody. Take care, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.